Good day, listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with my good buddy, Steven Cervantes. So how are you doing today?
I am well. Glad to be here. Excited. Motivated. Let's go.
Oh, man. So we're recording this in the middle of May, and so we're living in strange times. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are unique and unusual times, so certainly our thoughts and our prayers go out to those who are dealing with the whole COVID situation in all kinds of ways, those who may have been impacted personally by it. We certainly think about all of our first responders and all the folks that are in the work of the medical field and just all the sleepless nights. And so it's a tough time that we're in, but I think this is an opportunity as Christians that we have to elevate the gospel and to come together and to find creative ways to continue to do life together, to serve our neighbors and love our neighbors well.
Yes.
And so we just want to encourage you in that. We're still here. We're doing ministry. You know, we've actually seen an uptick in our listeners. You guys reaching out to us, asking specific questions, wanting to connect even further.
Oh, good.
So if you would like to connect with us, just go to puresexradio.com. There's a contact link there. You can always connect with us on social media at Pure Sex Radio. But we are grateful to have you as listeners, and we want to continue to encourage you during whatever season of life you're in.
Yes.
And that, I think, leads us into a conversation I'm kind of looking forward to, Stephen.
Good.
You pose this question, and I think it's a good one. It's a simple question, but just why Jesus?
Why Jesus? Why do you believe in Jesus? Why do you need a Jesus? Why do you hang on to Jesus? Why do you look for Jesus? Why do you think Jesus is important? Why Jesus?
Yeah.
So do I launch now?
Go for it.
You did the intro. Good job. So I'm just walking my neighborhood, and I'm so excited. I'm so full of peace and joy, and I'm so glad. And it's just like, things are fitting together in my life. And I have such peace in my soul. And I get to thinking about it. I'm listening to a podcast, and this guy's talking about how the gospel is changing lives in Africa and China and Malaysia. And it's just like, oh my goodness, Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is doing stuff everywhere. People who didn't believe are starting to believe. And people that have believed are deepening in their belief. And the speaker was saying, we're not in a crisis. We're in a disruption. But in the disruption, it sort of resets your priorities. What's really important? What do you need versus what do you want? He was saying, we're so want. What I want, you know what I want to do? You don't want to do this weekend. You want to go this way, I want to go that. You don't want to go. It's like, well, what do you need, really? What do you need? So I started playing with it, and it's just like, I like that I like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I like that I have a Jesus in my life. I like that there's continuity from very early to now.
Mm-hmm.
And the theme is the gospel and the sacrifice and the life of Jesus. I like everything about Jesus. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, when you first posed the question to me, I think where my mind immediately went to was exactly what you're talking about, the difference between needs and wants.
Mm.
And I just started kind of creating a list of these things that at the core of who I am, I need. And I don't think they're specific to me. I think they're actually universal to humanity. And the first thing I put down is, I need hope.
Oh, that's good.
Like if you live for any amount of time in this life, you realize there's a lot of circumstances that don't go the way that you want. You didn't get the job you wanted. You didn't make the team. You face a situation like we're in now, where you realize how little control you have over not only your own life, but the things around you.
Yeah, but slow down just before we lost control. You were going, you didn't make the team. This didn't work out. And I was going, and nobody wanted you.
Yeah.
Okay, nobody wanted you. Nobody wanted you on their team.
Mm.
But Jesus says, hey, you can be on my team. I pick you.
Exactly. This idea that when I think about the idea of hope, And what Jesus brings, if you look at God's story all throughout scriptures and all throughout history, what you realize is that it's God who brings hope to the outcasts. He brings hope to the marginalized. He actually chooses over kings and over authorities. He chooses, you know, the young shepherd boy who his dad didn't even want him to be part of the lineup for king. You know, he's like, he chooses these outcasts. He chooses the youngest, you know, he chooses the Josephs of the world. He chooses the murderer's Moses. He chooses the Abrahams, who was a pagan in a foreign country. He gives hope.
Yeah. So we are the chosen ones. Is that not cool? So go on. And then your second was control.
Well, the other one, yeah, I mean, that's not one of the needs that I put down, but the idea of God bringing hope is, I think, the realization, and I would put under the control one, that I need security. I love what you said. There's a continuity between when you were young and to now of Jesus in your life, meaning he's the same yesterday, today, forever. There's a security that I have in being in relationship with the creator of the universe, because he was here before any of it. He's going to be here. I mean, he's eternal. He is the great I am. And because he's unchanging, man, in my very changing circumstances where I know I don't have control, my goodness, I need that sense of security. Like, there's an anchor.
That he has control.
He's a refuge. He's a rock. He's the stronghold. You know, he's the one that I can be anchored into, so that as all the winds of my life are flapping around, I have a sense of there's an anchor for my soul.
Yeah, the rock. That's good. There's an anchor, a rock, a place my soul goes. So you did two, okay?
I've got more, but I'm going to jump in here and go
on my list too here. And I was just jotting things down. But, you know, I need better thinking than my own thinking. You know, I've done pretty good thinking, but it's sort of, I don't know if you know this or not, it's limited. You know, I'm a finite human being with X amount of education and effort and insight. And I got one brain. I'm in one place. And so I can do pretty good thinking, but I know I need better thinking. Mm-hmm. I need God thinking. I need big thinking, because I can get stuck in small places. So he offers me another way to see things, which is I need better thinking sometimes.
Well, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, you know, he's the one that says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than as far as the heavens are above the earth. You know, it's like there's not only does he give us a different perspective, he gives us the perspective on, you know, like,
yes.
And so when we dive into what he has said, when we dive into what Jesus demonstrated for us, it's not just about Jesus being an example. We're told that he's the living word of God. So there's a connection to a greater word. There's a connection to a greater thinking, to a greater wisdom. Yeah. Right? He brings to us something that we don't contain within ourselves, because it's like, to put it on a smaller scale, it's kind of like if you step into a room with people that are just more learned than you.
Yes. Then what?
It like immediately brings you into a different experience of whatever the subject matter is, right?
Right. It either calls you up to get your best thinking, or it calls you to shrink back and shut up because you're going to look stupid.
And that's where I think the invitation that Jesus gives to us is when he says, you know, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask. And God, who's generous, will give it to you.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, whereas if I walk into a room with somebody who's super smart and they think they're super smart, I'll probably shrink.
Yeah.
When you walk into the presence of Jesus, who is the smartest of all, and he says, hey, I want to hang out with you.
Oh, my goodness.
Then you're like, my goodness, he wants to share not just his wisdom. He wants to share his life with me. And that gives a better word, right? That gives a better thinking.
Fabulous. I'm thinking of the woman at the well. I just read it this morning. And she goes, why are you talking to me? I'm a Samaritan. You're a Jew. We don't talk. And he goes, I could give you living water. And they talked about where we're going to worship, and I know there's a Messiah. And then he whispers at the end, I am he. Mm-hmm. It's like, he didn't tell almost anybody that. He didn't want anybody to know that. But But here's a woman sitting there, and he says, I got to tell you something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he blessed the socks off, just a regular common person.
A person that everybody else had really literally cast out, right? Because she's having to go in the middle of the day to get water when that wasn't the time you went and all of that. So,
right. You got something?
One of the other things I have here in kind of my list of needs, and, mm-hmm. and by the way, listeners, this is not going to be exhaustive. I mean, I think if we kept asking ourselves the question, why Jesus, don't you think we could every day on and on, we'd come up with new things on the list. But one of the other things that I wrote down was I need life.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, I mean, we're actually told in Scripture that we're born dead in our trespasses and sins.
Mm.
Meaning in terms of true life in my soul, I'm not born with that. I'm born with life in my body, but what Jesus brings me is life for my soul.
Mm.
And I think this is one of the reasons why when people, you know, even in our ministry, when people are chasing after all kinds of other things, they're chasing after pleasure, they're trying to find it in porn, they're trying to find it in illicit relationships, you know, more money, more stuff, more. And yet the accumulation of all those things, their soul, their where life is still empty and dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, I'm like, man, the core of who I am, I need the life that only Jesus can give. Like there's an invigorating, energizing power that Jesus brings to my being, my whole being, not just my mind, but like my body and my soul and everything.
That's good. So I need somebody to explain to me what the big picture is, right? I'm here, I'm walking around, I'm doing good deeds, and then I fall over and I'm dead. That's it. And so Jesus says, I can explain the big picture to you. The Father and I are one. I'm in him and he's in me and you're in me and we're all one. I got this big picture. I love that. I love that somebody can explain the big picture. And it's funny because I heard a speaker say, we're moving away from the faith and the belief stuff and people are substituting it with causes. So I live for a cause. But it's like, that's dumb. I've lived and I thought I knew and I was on a mission. They're all empty, right? It's all nothingness, busy nothingness. You got to have a big picture here.
And yeah, Jesus, a cause has a shelf life, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's right. And you get to the end of it, you can lead it, you can be in the middle of it, you can be excited about it. In the end, it doesn't set your soul free or anything. It's just a lot of busyness. So I need a big picture. Somebody explain to me a big picture.
Well, and I think the big picture then, part of that that Jesus gives to us is when he gives us what the greatest commandment is, right? Love God and love your neighbor. Mm. So the big picture is highly relational. And sometimes a cause is about personalities. A cause is about, you know, solving a problem, right? A cause is, and so sometimes that's why causes have these shelf lives where Jesus is saying, I can give you that bigger picture where it's a relationship with me. It's a relationship with your neighbor.
And you can always tell where you are. If you know the big picture, you can always tell. You don't get lost.
Yeah. You know? So here's the thing, and that's what I've seen in my own life, is having that big picture of kind of the what I'm made for and the mission and those kind of things of loving God and loving my neighbor is then – if I start finding myself drifting towards materialism or drifting towards any number of things like that, because I've been given the big picture, right? I can go, okay, now I see I'm getting away from true north. I need to get back on track. So the other thing I was going to say here about kind of these needs that I realized that really only are ultimately fulfilled in Jesus. So I said, I need hope. I need security. I need life. Also say, you know what? I need identity. And oh my goodness, is that not a topic right now that has so much confusion around it, specifically related to gender, but I mean so much more than that.
Right.
Like I need identity. Like who am I? And nobody gives that to me like Jesus does. Jesus gives me my identity. He says, before the foundation of the world, I chose you. Before the foundation of the world, I formed you in your mother's womb. I have known you, and I'm the one who calls you by name. Mm. I love that fact that that Jesus doesn't just, we're not just like a bunch of petri dishes and you know, we've got some kind of like checkbox next to us. He's like, he calls us by name. Mm. He gives us an identity as men, as women. He calls me Jonathan, you know, and I have a sense of identity because I know my maker.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
That's good.
That's why Jesus gives me identity.
I like to be on a team. Mm. And I like to have a place to belong. And Jesus says, I got a fellowship, I got a church, come on, join us, be on our team, be on the God team. It's like, I like that. I want to be on a team. I want to be on a team that nobody's going to throw me off, or they're going to say, you're not that good, and come on in, we're glad you're here. And you're always welcome. Mm-hmm. I love that. I want to be on Jesus's team.
Yeah, no getting overlooked, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody on his team gets picked, you know, and like I said, you know, chosen. Another one I have is, and this is a biggie, and I think it's one that that maybe is confusing to some people because they can be like, well, I can get that from, you know, things or people other than Jesus, but I need love, and. Again, I think people could say, well, come on. I mean, my mother loves me. I've got friends that love me. I mean, you know, we live in a culture where all we say is, you know, we just need love. Of course, we, you know, love transcends just a relationship with Jesus. And in one respect, I would say, oh, yeah, there's love out there. But who's the author of love?
Mm.
Your even your conception of love cannot be disconnected from the Creator God, because He first loved us, therefore we know how to love.
Mm.
And so it's only really in Jesus that I understand the fullness of all that love means, not as a mere sentiment like, oh, I love you because essentially I like you and you please me and you give me what I want. No, I love you because even, as Jesus would say, even when you were my enemy, even when you didn't know me, even when you didn't want me, I was demonstrating love through sacrifice. I was going to pay a price in order to be in a relationship with you. So I need that understanding of love in my life. And only Jesus gives me that full picture of love that goes beyond sentiment and is about a relationship that requires sacrifice.
That's good. So my next one is, I like what Jesus is all about, the teachings of Jesus, how he lived his life, what he stands for. Because what is it? It's love. It's giving. It's sacrifice. It's grace. It's mercy. It's forgiveness. It's like all the good stuff. Jesus is about all the good stuff. And I like that. I like being on a team. What's promoted on the Jesus team? All the really good stuff, love and faith and hope and sacrifice and lay down your life for your friend. I mean, go Team Jesus. This is a great team. The stuff that it's about, it's good stuff.
Yeah, and it's stuff that I heard Tim Keller one time doing a sermon on why seeing Jesus as a mere example isn't good enough. In other words, it would crush you. If you only saw Jesus as an example, like an example for love, an example of goodness, an example, it will crush you because you will realize the perfection of his teaching, the perfection of his love, the perfection of his giving. And so therefore...
No, I'm still not making it.
So therefore, to try to live up to that, it would crush you. So you have to see Jesus as a savior.
Okay.
In other words, I'm with you in terms of I love all that Jesus is about. If I were to try to live like Jesus, it would crush me. I can't do it.
Yeah, I couldn't do it, right. I couldn't do it on my own. So therefore, will and volition.
Above all of that, I have to see Jesus isn't just a good example.
Right.
He has to save me because I could never follow him in his footsteps unless he were to actually save my life. Because I can't be as loving as him. I can't be as gracious. I don't have the authority of teaching that he does. You know, it's like I have to be surrendered to his salvation, not just the example. Does that make sense? I mean,
yeah. And I think you're making a spiritual point. You have to submit to really receive, right? It's a little twist on what I was saying, because I was saying, look at all the traits of Jesus.
Absolutely,
I like them all.
Yeah.
And you're saying there is another step to enter in, right, of submission.
Because you can look at those things from afar. And I think a lot of people have admired Jesus over the years.
Well, and I think that's really what I was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, look at anybody's life you want.
Yeah.
And, okay, they were nice, or they were kind.
Nobody was like Jesus.
But they were a recluse, or they got even with you that one time. And, you know, when you look at anybody's life, you go, well, you know, everybody's got little pieces of this. But when you look at his life, it was just good popping out in the dialogue, in the interaction. When you look at this life, right, from the outside, it's like, why wouldn't I want to follow that life? If I got to follow some life, that is an amazing life to follow. That's sort of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And you're saying, not only could you follow that, but if you really want to enter into it.
Yeah, you can't do that on your own.
You can't just show up and buy a t-shirt with the Jesus letter on it. I graduated. And, right? There's some examples where people were trying to,
in the
Bible, imitate. But it was like, no, that you're not plugged in. Because you're saying, then if you want to participate in all these things, they're available.
Yeah.
But you have to submit, right, to enter in. To all. These are not just amazing things on the outside. They're like things to walk in on the inside, right?
And that leads kind of into the next thing that I had that is so foundational to how I would answer the question, why Jesus, is because at the end of the day, I need mercy and grace. I mean, with every passing year of my life, I'm actually more aware of how sinful and broken I am. I may not be acting that out in the same ways that I did when I was younger, but it's almost like don't you kind of feel that way sometimes? Like you start getting a finer sensitivity to the realities of your own brokenness,
That's
your own
right.
sinfulness,
your limitations.
I think of it like when Paul in Romans 7, 25 years after his conversion, is talking about his current battle against sin in his life. And he's like, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so I realize, Jesus, I need Jesus. I need the mercy and the grace of Jesus. Because apart from that, man, I can't stand. I can't stand before God. I can't stand up in life.
That's good. Yeah. So it's a little similar to one earlier. But Jesus has a way to make the eternal things make sense. Because he lived them, he spoke about them, he challenged the institution, the religion, the ritualistic, and yet he could go toe to toe with them.
Yeah,
right. I love that Nicodemus story where he's on the ruling council, and Nicodemus comes in the cover of night and says, "Hey, I've made this observation. Nobody that doesn't have God, or you must have God," said another way. You must have God in you, because the things that come out of you have to be God things. Mm-hmm. And what I love is what Jesus says. He didn't even address that issue. He just, Nicodemus goes, "You must be from God, right?" I'm sort of getting that vibe here. It's just if you read, it's a matter of fact statement. And Jesus flips on him and he says, "Unless you're born again." Well, what is Nicodemus had to scratch his head because this makes no sense. What are you talking about, Jesus?
And he's one of the elite religious leaders,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so what is that born again? He said, unless you're remade, right? Unless you have the right stuff at your core, right? Unless you run on the right program. What is born again? Unless the old stuff becomes new stuff, right? My old program will only run so far. I have to have a new program. He's talking to Nicodemus about stuff Nicodemus didn't even ask about.
Exactly, yeah.
Because Nicodemus just came and said, you must be of God because of things you do.
And I love what you're saying there. It's like when you talk about Jesus has a way of making eternal things make sense. He also has a way of inviting us to the right questions.
Yes.
Like, we don't even know the right questions to ask. It's true. And that's why I think a lot of times in his ministry, when he was asked a question, he responded with a question, almost as if to say, you're asking the wrong question.
Oh.
Because he wanted to, like you said, he's wanting to take us to what's actually
what's important. Critical.
Yeah.
And so we don't hear much about Nicodemus. He goes home and scratches his head and goes, this is what he said. You got to be born again. But you know who's burying Jesus?
Mm.
Artemis and Nicodemus are putting perfume on his body later. He gave that guy such a great question. It changed his life. He rewired his head and he said, I can help bury you, Jesus, because that's the value you have to me, you know? So I have on my list, Jesus is my lifelong friend, my BFF. He walks with me in the neighborhood. He goes on hikes with me. When I'm sitting in dark places, Jesus is there. I'm always talking to him. He is the friend that doesn't forsake me. He doesn't judge me. He doesn't criticize me. And it's so weird because if you don't, you know, there are believers that say you have to have a relationship. You have to make him real. I mean, they're trying to coach you into something. But when he's your BFF, you go, yeah, he's there. Yeah, what are you talking about? You know? And so I sort of snicker when I hear that, you know? Because they're trying, there's two classes of people, the people that really walk with Jesus and the one that know about Jesus. I guess I'm putting it in two classes. You know about Jesus, but you don't walk with him. And it's just like, why is Jesus the answer in bad times and good times? Because he's always there.
Yeah.
He's always there.
And if we're honest, who else could we ever say about that in our lives?
Yeah.
Even if you think about it, if somebody is married for 50 years, well, but you're probably 75.
Yeah.
So that was 50 years of your life, you're with your spouse, but Jesus has been with you, like we said earlier. He knew you were being formed in your mother's womb. He's been
good.
And what I like what you're saying too, because the way I'm hearing it when you say it that way is, he is my lifelong friend.
Oh.
I haven't always been a friend to him, have I?
Wow.
But he has always been a friend to me.
Amen.
So when I've been faithless, when I have been rude, when I have been unkind, when I've taken a break from Jesus, he's never done that with me. You know what
Amen.
I mean? So it's like,
that's
a real friend.
That's good.
And that's why Jesus, right?
And it's funny because if you met anyone, how often would you say, well, you should be his friend. You should just be his friend. No, if you like someone, you just become their friend.
Exactly.
There's no question. It's a given. I'll be talking to you some more, and we'll just, nobody has to tell me.
You don't
right?
have to make a delineation point like this is where we became friends.
No, but I don't mean to pick on that too much, but I think it's that potential in your life that he could be your best friend, and you could be talking to him, and people that are lonely out there and people don't know, just make him your best friend.
Mm-hmm.
He'd like to go up to the mountain with you. He'd like to live in the valley with you. He'd like to, you know, prosper with you. He'd like to grieve with you, you know, and it's just like we're desperate for someone to walk with us to the end.
So listeners, this has been a little bit of a different kind of a broadcast, but we hope that it has maybe stirred you to ask the question in your own mind. Well, yeah, why Jesus? Why is he important? Why must I have him in my life? Why must I seek a relationship with him? If you've got questions about that, or if you're struggling even just when your walk with Jesus, maybe something that we said resonated with you where you realize maybe I have just kind of been living in that category of just sort of knowing about Jesus, but I'm not really intimately walking with him. Reach out to us. We'd love to help you on that journey. And we're always grateful you're here, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. So
God bless.
Take care.